This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind live event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow a more profitable business faster, even in a crappy economy. During this event, Jim will reveal how to create a million-dollar platform on a shoestring budget. You'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease, how to attract a steady stream of new customers, and you'll also network with other successful marketers and entrepreneurs. This not-to-be-missed event is September 4th through the 6th in Philadelphia and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details and register today at www.dreambizacademy.com. That's www.dreambizacademy.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Berg, co-author of The Go-Giver and author of Adversaries Into Allies, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, and those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. That's what it's all about. I'm very excited about this week's show because my special guest is someone who I greatly admire, Philip Hatfield. And let me tell you a little bit about Philip. He's an amputee from a devastating accident in 2008 where he was actually expected not to live. In fact, he almost died, I think, 7 times in 10 days, which is just incredibly frightening. But Philip not only survived that, he has thrived. His life is in kind of high gear. You know, being blessed to be alive drives his passion to share lessons, learn from life and business. We actually, you know, have a really kind of a bond that way, in fact, how we kind of approach life and business and all that. You know, and working with his dad, digging ditches in the early days and in his building business to turning around a major 4-star hotel after a devastating fire, Philip has learned how to succeed against all odds. And we all feel like we face a lot of odds, especially in these last few years. I'm really excited to talk to Philip and get his perspective. And, you know, working with great companies like Regency Hotel, Flooring America, and Oak Creek Homes, and Zig Ziglar have really made him an expert. And Philip's expertise is realizing that people are truly the greatest asset and resource for any business or organization. And he's kind of known as the turnaround guy, which I think is kind of cool, helping people and businesses create a new plan to turn their lives and businesses around 180 degrees. He's also the author of a really great book, Carried by Angels. So we got a lot to talk about. I'm really excited. Philip, hey, man, thanks for being my special guest on this episode of Stick Like Glue Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Jim. I appreciate it.
You know, it's no secret now that they've heard you that you're definitely from the South. I think Texas, is that right?
You mean I have an accent, or does that mean you do not have an accent?
That's
absolutely
right.
Yes,
I'm
a Texan.
Oh boy, that's great. You know, we've been Facebook friends and kind of hanging out on social media for a few years now, and it's just a real pleasure to finally connect with you live. Can you tell us a little bit more? I kind of shared a little bit about your backstory, but you know, what I find is that the backstory is where the not only the magic is, but it's how it's really what shapes people's lives. You know, people are familiar with my backstory, and that's kind of how I've started my business and how I base my life and what I do. So give us a little bit more about Philip. Fill us in a little bit more on the accident and how it helped shape you as both a man and a businessman.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you. Hey, and thank you so much for having me, Jim. But I tell you what, when you talk about backstory, as we all know, it goes back to the very beginning with all of us in all of our lives. I go back to junior high. You know, I just wasn't really, you know, I wasn't even putting forth the effort that you need as a high, as a junior high student. And heck, I got to high school, and you know, I was kind of messed up there, Jim. I thought high school was about baseball, football, and girls. I didn't realize that there were classes we had to attend.
Hey, speaking of that, do you know my junior and senior year in high school, my history teacher was the football coach, and he did nothing but talk football with the football players in the class, which I really enjoyed because I didn't have to do anything. But now later in life, when I when people talk about certain history or where certain countries are, I'm like, I don't have a clue. You know, so it's funny how that wakes you up.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, but you know, I wound up going to five different high schools here in the Fort Worth area. And so I got kicked out of a couple of them. Plus, we moved a lot. My dad was a builder, so we moved a bit. So really, I didn't get as good an education as high school as I should. I was just more of a guy that I was everybody's friend. It didn't matter. Here in Texas back years ago, we used to have the goody-goodies, then we had the ropers, and then we had the dopers. Do you know what those are?
Yes, sir.
We had the cowboys, and then we had the guys around doing the other stuff. But, you know, I was able to get along with everybody, so it was really pretty neat. And I played football, wound up having an accident my senior year, and I lost my left knee. I had it tore up. I was tackled on the three-yard line playing the Longview Lobos. Now, I know you don't have no Longview Lobos where you are.
No, but I used to watch that show Friday Night Lights. I can just envision you.
Yeah, that's what it was like. It really, football here, man, I'll tell you what, high school ball, we think it's pros. But no, I was on the three-yard line. I was getting ready to make another touchdown. I was running back, and I got hit, and I lost my left knee. It just flat tore it up. So I wasn't able to go to school playing football. There was no more college scholarships. Nobody wanted me. So trying to get into college, Jim, was total nightmare. I applied everywhere. There was only one school in the whole country that would take me because my grades and attendance were so bad. So I left Texas and wound up going to Tennessee. So isn't that funny? Hatfield going back to Tennessee.
The McCoys. Okay. That's, don't tell me your roommate was a McCoy.
No, but one of my best friends in high school was a guy named McCoy. That was pretty funny. So we wind up going back to Tennessee. And in college, you know, my first year, I did okay, but I really didn't have great grades because I didn't know how to study. And there again, still learning how to apply myself. And long story short, the about the end of my sophomore year, I barely made it to sophomore credits. And about the end of that first sophomore semester, the dean and I got to be very good friends. I had a lot of invitations from him, but I got this one invitation to come into his office. And he says, Philip, I'm going to have to invite you to leave the school. He said, man, your grades are so bad, your attendance is so bad. He said, there's just nothing I could do. So there I was, 20 years old, and it's like, okay, I got to go get a job. And so, heck, nobody wanted me at a job because I didn't have good attendance there either. So basically I started out at a place called Church's Chicken. Have you ever heard of Church's Chicken?
I have.
Oh, man, down south, everybody loves chicken. But you know, it was a neat little place, but I wound up in the cooler back here where it's freezing cold, and my job was cutting up the chickens. So I'd cut up the chickens, and before long, it's like I began to learn about counting the chickens and learn how to do a little inventory. And I began to learn how to do these percentages, and it's like, wow, those things I heard about in high school actually begin to make sense since I was out in the world actually working. And come to find out, I began to like business. There I was a kid, no education, just working. It's like, I like this business thing. I worked up to be an assistant manager, general manager, moved up through the ranks. And heck, it wasn't long after that, I got a chance to get into hotel business. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you get into the hotel business. I'd worked my way up to be a food and beverage director for the Regency Hotel. Pretty successful there. And then I got a call one day from a headhunter. He said, man, would you like to come back to Fort Worth, Texas, where you grew up? I said, absolutely. I would love to come to Fort Worth. So he interviewed me. He came over. He showed me all these pictures of a beautiful hotel. And it's like, wow. I said, I'd like to go see the hotel. He said, no. He said, you can't take away. We don't need you there. It'll cause problems on the property. I said, okay. So he kept coming back for about 2-3 weeks, and finally I decided, yeah, I'm going to leave my job here with the Regency as a great position, food and beverage director, and I'm going to go to Fort Worth, Texas, be the general manager of a hotel. So I gave my 2 weeks' notice, packed up, came to Fort Worth. And as I drove off the highway, you know, Jim, you drive off the highway, you drive up one of those ramps, you get up at the very top, and then you got that big bridge you're going to go across, and all the traffic goes below you. So as I'm looking over, I see that beautiful sign. It's like, wow. Beautiful sign. The hotel is gorgeous. Man, it's prettier than the pictures. Once I got up to turn right to pull into the property, on the left, the first set of rooms were all burnt to the ground. Basically, I'd made a huge mistake. You know, I should have came and looked at the property, and I got there, and long story short, 45 days before I arrived on property, there had been a major fire. 5 people had died, and 33 people were still in the hospital.
Wow.
It's pretty devastating. And there I was, a young man at the time. I was 24 years old. It's like, oh, my God, I have just messed up. Hmm. And I looked at it, and I got in there and began to meet the people and the quality of the people. It's like, oh, what am I doing? All the good chefs were gone because they didn't have anybody to cook for. All the good people running the front desk, they were gone. They went to get other jobs. The only people who were there were those who could not get a job anywhere else and were drawing a check from the insurance company because the insurance was paying. And so there I was. I was like, what in the world am I going to do? And then my dad gave me this book by a funny guy by the name of Zig Ziglar.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that name?
Yes, I had the great pleasure of meeting the man before he passed.
Oh, yeah, wasn't he a fantastic guy?
Zig, he was. I told him, you know, just to break off the story real quick, I said, you know, I have a lot of what I would call kind of business heroes, icons, or whatever. And I said, but you, sir, one of the reasons I admire you so much is that while you talk about sales and success and things like that, you never fail to compliment your wife. You're not afraid to talk about God, and you just let it go, and you are very authentic. And he's like, that's the way you ought to be, you know? He's just such a great guy.
And that's the same way my first encounter was with him. But there I got his book in 1984 when I got his first book, and then I found him getting those cassette tapes. Now, have you ever seen those old things or antiques now? They're called them cassettes. You ever seen them things?
You know, come Phil, I used to have an 8-track in my car.
Uh-huh, you and I grew up in the 8-track days.
Yeah,
but I had those cassette tapes.
Yep, I remember.
And we begin to listen to those tapes and read the books and begin to look at people, and all of a sudden a bell went off in my head. Here I could look at this as, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Is this a devastating event in my life or is this an opportunity to shine? Now, it took about 2 weeks to get that attitude, I'll be honest with you. But it's like once I begin to look at it and decide this is what I've got, how can I make the best of it? I begin to learn the first thing you had to do is start investing in people. And as I begin to talk to these people, invest with them, and get to know them. But, Jim, we talk about getting to know people, but basically on an employee level, I know you have a lot of business people. Do you know the best way to get to know people? It's you go back and you start to find out what is their dream?
Mm-hmm.
What do they want in life? And a lot of times people have lost that dream. They think, well, this is what I got. I can't go no further than this, and I'll take what life has, and I'll try to get here. But they lose their dream. But when we go back and start talking to people about their real dream, what is your dream? What do you want to do? And then you start talking about a vision. Can you see yourself actually achieving that dream, achieving that goal? And there again, like I said, sometimes we have to go back and teach people how to dream again and let them see that, golly, we can do impossible things. And truly things are impossible to be done alone because we're not made to be alone. We're people for relationships. So, you know, as a team, we can do anything. But that's really was my huge part of success. Things coming from Zig Ziglar. No education, and here I am today, and I'll tell you, I do not have a college degree, but I get to coach businesses all over the world how to be successful, and that is cool.
You know, we all go through things in life, and, you know, I went in 2000, I lost my job at, I think, 42 years old, and, you know, we had made a decision that my wife, Stephanie, was going to be a stay-at-home mom, so we lived 100% on what I brought home, and I really thought that you know, I'd find a job right away. I told Steph, don't worry about it. Within a month or two, I'll be fielding multiple lucrative job offers. And that turned into a year and a half of really devastating unemployment. And I've got cancer the next summer while I was unemployed. And it was really, a dark period in my life. I call it my season of crises. But it was that season of crises that kind of molded me who I am today. It gave me the courage to start my own business, to get control of my life. And it's really how, you know, I learned so much from going through that and kind of getting your mettle tested is to, you know, I'm a completely different person than I was, you know, 13 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't. The struggles actually bring out the best in us, don't it?
Yeah, you just don't realize it. You don't realize it at the time, but it really does when you come out of it.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is after I begin to work with these people, learning about their dreams and letting them see they can achieve their dreams, the more that as a business manager I begin to help them to achieve their dreams, I was able to start achieving my dreams through them. And then I was able to start achieving the corporate dreams, our corporate goals through them. Because as they're trying to achieve their dream, it helps the company propel for its goals. Now, here again, if a company has no goals and if a company has no dreams, how are they ever going to know how they're going to get there and how they're going to know how they're going to get to where they want to go? But we had to sit down. We laid out, what's the goal of this company? What's the goal of this hotel? And let me ask you, Jim, will you stay at a hotel where there was a fire and 5 people died in their sleep and 33 people were still in the hospital? Would you go and stay at that hotel and spend the night?
Not if there's another one down the road.
Absolutely. But let me tell you the cool thing of teamwork and getting our working and overcoming the hugest obstacle of the bad publicity we had all over the country. It was the first major fire in a hotel in many years. But getting back there and just building the team and overcoming those things, we built that hotel back. That within 2 years, we went from making $20,000 a month. Now, here again, go back to 1985 standards. We were making $12 million a year.
Wow. Holy smokes.
So bring it to today. What would that be today? Would that be $36 million? I have no idea how that would work out. But $36 million a year, today's dollars, all in a matter of a couple of years, from a bunch of misfit people.
Hey, Philip, we could probably go for hours, but I do have a limited number, time here. And I'm just really enjoying this conversation. I want to ask you about your book, Carried by Angels. When did you write that? Is that about this whole experience, or tell me about that?
Well, in all honesty, Zig always told me to write a book. And all these years, nobody wants to read my book. After I had my devastating accident back in 2008, I was in the offices over here at Ziegler. You know, we have a Monday morning meeting every Monday at 8:30. And Zig was here that morning, and he looked at me. He said, "Now, when you going to write that book?" I said, "Zig, you're talking to the wrong guy. You know I can't spell." He says, "I didn't ask if you could spell. I said, when you going to write the book?" And so it's kind of like, wow, I didn't think about it. So I go home, talk to my wife, and sit down, and then 2 days later started writing the book. The book is called Carried by Angels, and to be honest, Jim, it's about my life, transition in my life, long story short, listening to Zig throughout the years, starting in the 80s and then meeting him in 93. In 1998, I surrendered my heart to Christ, and my life totally changed again. It was another total transformation. So the book is about, there are many times that I know God put angels in my path before to lead me to him, and then afterwards. There are some situations where God sent angels in my life afterwards. But it's like I didn't realize it then, but I began to see later how God put people in my life. So that's the story.
That's really amazing. How did you get involved with Zig Ziglar, you know, working at the company?
Well, I met Zig in 1993 here. Matter of fact, I was living back in Shreveport again. I'd accomplished here, and I was then back in Shreveport doing more work again. And I came back over to Dallas for a huge convention, and I was going to get the privilege to have a dinner with a speaker. Come to find out, the speaker that night was Zig Ziglar. That was 1993. And that's when I first met Zig. And there again, 5 years after that, that's whenever I finally accepted Christ. But we began to build a relationship. And as I needed stuff as a business person out there, it's kind of like I needed that encouragement. Zig was like my church, more or less. It's like I would go to him to get my encouragement. I would follow him. I would find, where's this guy speaking? I need to go just sit in the audience for a while. I need to get more stuff. And so long story short, that's the way that happened. And then in 2000, I moved back over here to Dallas. And when I moved to Dallas, I was walking through the halls of a church, and as I go walking down the halls, having no idea where Zig went, there was this voice come behind me and says, "Young man, what are you doing here?" And I turned around, and Zig was following me down the hall. He said, "Well, I teach the Sunday school class right over there." So then I wound up going into his Sunday school class, and just the relationship began to grow and evolve. And I actually began to be a backup Sunday school teacher for him occasionally. In that class, which was a huge class. Class would be anywhere from 300 to 700 people on a weekly basis. So our Sunday school class was bigger than most people's churches.
Yes. Jeez. That is so exciting about, you know, God is always moving the deck chairs around, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
To make things happen. How important is an entrepreneur's attitude to their success? I mean, you are just reverberating a positive, you know, attitude with everything that you face career-wise, high school-wise, your accident and things like that. I mean, you come across as having a very, very positive attitude, which I know is important. Talk about that, and you know, because, listen, you coach entrepreneurs, I coach entrepreneurs. There's a lot of people struggling right now. So how important is a good attitude to success?
Well, it's the number one thing. You know, attitude is a thing. It's your strength for your direction. The number one thing is you've got to look and see how grateful you are for, number one, just being alive. And we're grateful that we woke up this morning, Jim. You and I mean, we could have not woke up this morning. But, golly, we wake up, and then we look and say, what are we grateful for? We look over and see that wonderful spouse that we have. And then we go and see, golly, I've got this nice, wonderful house. I'm warm in the winter. It's cool in the summer. And then you go out and you see your kids. And then you get ready to go out to work, and you see you've got wonderful neighbors. And then you start driving down the road, and you go to your Starbucks where you continually go. And you just start seeing the great things in life, the great things in people. But remember this, the number one conversation that you're going to have all day long is the first encounter you have that day. And who is that with? It's always with ourselves. If we don't start looking in the morning of who we are, how grateful we are, and start at that point, it's kind of like the whole day kind of goes negative. But when we start being grateful in the morning for those things that we have, start talking good things to ourselves about how great life is. Or we can get up talking about, oh, I ache, oh, the pains, oh, man, I don't want to do this. We started that negative attitude, it takes us negative. Now, you know I had a bad accident. And so when I was in the hospital, let me ask you this. When I'm in the hospital, we always talk about react and respond to situations. And then here's the way that I put it. When I was in the hospital and they would come in, and I was almost died 7 times in 10 days, as you said earlier, but do they want me to react to the medicine, or do they want me to respond to the medicine? If I'm reacting, then I'm having a bad problem. Things are going down. There's a big negative. If I'm responding, things are great and we're moving forward. And that's what we do with our attitude. When things come starting early in the day, are we going to react to that, or are we going to respond to that? So we start early in the morning directing our path of our attitude. And it really is. Everything in life is based on our attitude. Our friendships, our relationships, everything is based on your attitude.
You know, what's funny about that is when I had stage 2 melanoma in 2001, I remember my wife driving me home. I think it was about 3 weeks after the surgery. I had to go back and have the surgeon, you know, check everything. And I had a big bandage on my back, so I had to kind of like lean forward. So she's driving us home. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Valley Forge Park, you know, pretty famous war place out here in Philadelphia. And we're driving through Valley Forge, and I'm, like, looking out the window, and I've lived here, like, since I was 19, right? And I've driven by these same surroundings for years, and I'm gawking out the window, and she said, what are you doing? I said, look at how awesome those trees are. And I'm like, I never noticed a tree before.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I throw up my window shade. I'm looking out at my lawn and my trees, and I'm just like, it's going through something like that. I always tell a couple people that I'm friends with that kind of have a little bit of maybe a negative attitude. I said, I just wish you could have my outlook without going through what I went through. But then again, you know, maybe that's what's best. It really changes your perspective.
And the same thing in business, Jim. We have those things that happen in business. And a lot of times we don't realize what a wonderful business we have until something happens. And then we can always look at sometimes when our business is failing or it's not going where it needs to be going. We need to stop and do what Zig always said, a checkup from the neck up. Look at the man in the mirror and let's see, how is my attitude? Do I have a good attitude? Because however I come in is what I'm going to be giving to my employees. And do I have a goal? If I don't have a goal, how can I expect my employees to have a goal? And do I have a dream? And if I don't have a dream, how can I expect them to have a dream? If they're going to be taking what we do as leaders and following us. There again, just like I said, going back to the hotel, when we start pouring into our employees, remove ourselves, forget about ourselves, and start giving to other people. That's what I love, Bob Berg, on the Go Giver. When we start giving to other people, my God, you and I know this, we reap so much more in return.
Yeah, it's all about the value you deliver that's in excess of what they're paying for or expecting, I think is what one of the things Bob talks about.
Yep.
You know, I've got like 3 minutes left. I wish I had an hour and 3 minutes. I'm going to ask you, would you come back in my program in the near future? Because we got a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely. Just please invite me. And, hey, I enjoy spending time with you. Next time, you got to talk more and me less.
There you go. How can people connect with you, Philip? What's the best website?
You can look at me here at the Ziegler. Look up the Ziegler.com. I'm listed as a speaker there on Ziegler. My office is here in the Ziegler offices, or at philiphatfield.com. And you can get a copy of my book, They Are Carried by Angels, at philiphatfield.com as well. But feel free to contact me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful connecting with you.
Thank you. Have a great day. God bless.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Philip Hatfield, not the McCoy, Philip Hatfield. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.